I'm Tamara.
And I'm Rel.
And this is Fearful Friends Podcast. I'm starting to like it now.
Sigh. I know. It's expected.
How was my week? Thank you for asking.
How was it? I did ask you earlier and then I thought I should save it for the pod.
I just bought a car.
I'm so proud of you. You want to tell everyone what it is? Mom?
It's a minivan.
Woo-hoo! Ow, my finger.
Ha, karma.
Truly. It is the minivan of her dreams, though.
It's cute. It has black rims,
guys.
She's
very excited.
It's a black car.
She's showing me the interior, and she's just like, all black interior. Yeah. Everything in there is black.
Yes. I've never, like, taken a car loan out, so, woo.
Oh, that was rough. You haven't.
Yeah.
Wow.
I should get it in, like, a week from tomorrow, which means I probably can't drive down to your house next week.
That's okay. We'll figure it out. Sorry, I didn't mean to just yawn mid-sentence.
So, how was your New Year's?
My New Year's?
Because today it's the 5th, January 5th.
Fine. We made it through the holiday season.
You did. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
Did you stay up till midnight?
No. But I was awoken at midnight by the sound of fireworks and my dogs barking at them.
Oh, God.
Was Lucy fine for the fireworks?
Yeah.
What a bitch. Where is she? I didn't see her out there. Did you lock her in the closet? Where is Lucy?
Oh, I think she's in my dining room.
God. You just made me panic a little bit.
I forgot I moved one of her beds over there because that's where she can hide from the kids when they're being crazy.
Like so. Well, you tell me when you're ready.
Ready. Did you make any New Year's resolutions? I know you hate that, but I feel like...
How do you know I hate that?
Because last year...
Last year I said I fucking hate New Year's resolutions.
Yeah. That's like what we started the podcast off with. I was talking about my goals for last year, which were to get a dog.
Check. I don't remember this at all, but go on.
Get a new couch.
I do not remember this conversation ever taking place.
Have a baby.
You got a dog.
And get a car.
You crossed it all off.
Yes. Well, one of them I did this year instead of last year, but...
Only by a couple days.
Yes.
You were late. But that's fine.
Yeah.
You did it all.
Yep. I didn't do it all. I don't have a baby.
You have Emily.
And a minivan.
And a minivan that you can put that baby in.
Yeah. Gotta fill up those seats. I don't have my headphones on.
Oh.
I knew it felt so weird.
Okay. You're like, I can't hear you. Yeah, I got nothing for New Year's resolutions. I think the last one that I ever did was like quit smoking in 2020, but that wasn't even really a New Year's resolution. That was just like, I was sick of the way vaping made my throat feel.
Oh.
So I stopped. Every now and then when I'm really jonesing, I'll share a cigar with Matt. But other than that, I've held on.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks. I miss it every single day.
Really?
Every fucking day. Every single day that somebody pisses me off or like on like really long car rides. Or when the weather's really nice and cold. That's like a huge trigger. When the weather's like cold, all I want to do is sit outside. And then like I remember, ugh, I can't smoke. Well, that's going to be boring.
Well, proud of you. I didn't know that it was hard for you.
Quitting?
Or just like that you still like have urges.
Oh my God. Every day.
Really?
You're never around me when I'm, like, super trashed either. When I'm, like, literally begging all of Matt's friends. I just quit, but, like, give me just a little bit, you know? And then they're like, get away from me.
Rich quit, too, but he's never said
anything. He still does the gum, right?
Yeah.
So that helps with the cravings. I don't know.
I wish he'd quit, but... Yeah.
It is what it is. At least he's given up the smoking, because that's the bad thing. And he didn't switch to vaping, because that shit's even worse.
Yeah.
Oh, is he vaping now?
No.
Good.
He quit that.
Good. Because, yeah, that was like I used to smoke like, you know, Marlboro menthols and like Newport menthols and shit like that. And then like I was like, I'm going to switch to like the cheapest cigarette you could get at Winn-Dixie, which was like 305s. Mm-hmm. And I was like, these are going to be so terrible that I'm going to quit for sure. I'm going to have one pack. I'm going to be so disgusted. I'm never going to buy another pack again. And I was like, holy shit, these are half the price and they're fucking better than Marlboros. So I smoked those for like a couple of years. And then I was like, no, I'm going to do it for real this time. And like, I got this little vapey thing back before, like, I guess it wasn't like when vaping first became a big thing, but it wasn't when vape shops were on every corner.
Right.
Maybe it was. I don't remember. Anyways, it worked for like the time being, but then like my fucking lungs hurt so bad. Like it always felt like it just always felt so heavy in my lungs.
That's just not the scary.
Same. I know.
It doesn't feel like that anymore.
Mm-mm.
Oh, wow. Good.
Yeah. And then like I sometimes still feel that way when I like hit like our weed pen.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes feel that way too, but I don't know. It's probably all the metallics we're burning and inhaling into our bodies. Yummy. Don't get your insides wet. You might rust. Gross. Sorry.
Okay. You have to ask me how my week was.
You asked yourself how your week was, I think.
I asked myself how my week was.
Yeah, at the beginning, you're like, how was your week, Tamara? I got a new car.
Okay.
But how was your week, Tamara?
It was short. Didn't feel short, but it was a shorter week. It was only 4 days because I was off on Monday.
Oh, you guys and your fucking bank holidays. You know? Fuck you.
Yeah, well, you can work and then have 8 extra hours on your paycheck.
I did.
Yeah. All right. What were we saying?
Already off the track. You were talking to me about your short week.
Oh, yeah. But it felt like a really long week.
Like, were you busy?
Yeah. We had, like, definitely had those spurts where it was really crazy and people were snotty.
Sorry.
Don't punch.
I didn't mean to. It was an accident.
Okay.
I did it on purpose.
I almost called it the Michael phone. Oh my God.
Now, don't hit things, Tamara.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I already told you because I was having
a
little cry session yesterday.
I told Matt about that. He had no idea. I kept reading the name to him over and over again. He's like, who? Because you spelt it wrong again. Or maybe I'd just never seen that name spelt that way before. So then I was pronouncing it weird. And he was like, who the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, you know him.
That's how he spells his name.
Well, I kept saying it fucking weird then. Because that's fucking weird. That's a weird way to spell it.
Is he normally such a fucking jerk? Because I usually don't help him.
No, he said that whole family is a bunch of assholes. Please bleep this out, though.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to... I will bleep their names out, but I'm not bleeping the rest of this out.
No, that's fine. Bleep their names out.
No, but the one guy... So, what happened was... there's a bar. And they're one of my clients. And they were also Matt's client, or Matt was their client.
It's a brewery, and Matt used to distribute them.
Yeah.
So he knows, like, all the people that own it and all that. And they're a bunch of shitheads.
There are
there's a clients couple at owners. The bank.
Yeah. And they're a family. And he just was so nasty and rude to me. But you know what he was trying to do? Withdraw money out of a bank account that he wasn't on. And that's why he got angry at me.
Oh. That would be like me walking into a bank and saying, I'd like to withdraw out of Tamara's bank account.
Yeah.
Do you know this bitch? Yeah, she's my bestie. Okay, well, no.
He's like, you know, this is my business. I own this business. And I'm like,
You're like, I don't know that.
I'm like, okay. And, you know, after all of that, he's like, you better tell your manager. And I was like, all I'm going to have to do now to get him to shut up is start agreeing with him. So I'm like, yep, I will tell my manager. He's like, yeah, right. You know, you're not going to do that. I'm like, you're right. I'm going to call your business banker and tell him exactly how you treated me and how your other employee treated my teller the other day. Because he tried to do the same thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Neither of them are on the account and they're both trying to take out money? This sounds fishy, Tamara.
No,
this sounds
it's like stupid.
Embezzlement.
They're just fucking stupid. Because you know what?
They're getting money
for change for their, you know, their till.
Oh. Was it a swappy? Like a...
Usually that's what it is, but
they
this
didn't
time
have any money
it
to
wasn't.
Swap.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's just a straight up withdrawal. Yeah, you have to have...
Like... And he's pissed off. Like, I don't understand why you have that policy and blah, blah. And I'm like... What do you mean?
The identification policy that a bank is. What an idiot.
Yeah.
Nobody ever said they were smart.
His business banker also laughed at him. So.
Oh, good.
Jeez. Like, honestly, you think I'm not going to tell my manager? The second you leave, we're going to go in there and I'm going to have to laugh at you.
Snicker about
you. We're both going to laugh because I got to stop crying. I promise you, I am going to tell my manager right now.
Oh, I wish you could just like ban people. Like, you were mean. You don't deserve to interact with us anymore.
I know. And normally it's like, you know, people get angry because it's very personal working in finance. And you know that they're angry at the situation and not at you.
I don't know. It seemed like he was kind of angry at you.
Yeah, this was different.
This was personal.
This was different.
He was like, you're holding me back.
Yeah.
What I need to do.
But also, I feel like he knew that going into it. And he was trying to, like, trick me into, like, being comfortable with him and not going and checking.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
It sounds like embezzlement to me.
Yeah.
If they wanted you doing anything with their bank account, sorry. If they wanted you doing anything, they would have put you on the account.
Right.
It's weird.
Like, you are an owner, and your brother's on the account, but not you.
Should have had your brother come in, brah.
Right. Yeah, when I went over to him to, like, tell him, I was, like, just, you know, walking over. And then he, like, drops his head, and he gets, like, all, like, emotional.
Oh, so he saw
so
you?
He knew before I even told him.
Ha, ha, ha.
So I know that he knew that he wasn't supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
And then he still got angry at me. So... It wasn't that type of situation where, like, you know, they're just letting off steam because of something that is not controllable. But he knew what he was doing, and he got pissed off that I did my job and checked to see who those signers were on that account before I took it out. Because, you know, normally you deal with the same client every single day over and over again.
Yeah.
You don't go and, like, check hard. You're like, oh, yeah, here's blah, blah, here to make his business deposit.
That's different. He's not the client that's on the account.
And then then he goes, when he's leaving, he goes, you know, I don't even know why I bank here. And I'm like, thinking,
me either.
Literally, you don't. you don't have an account. I don't know. Your business or business partner might. You don't. Okay.
Wow. It's just like, I'm not surprised at all.
Okay.
I'm just not. And he came back today.
Another employee came back today. He was the first one that bitched at my teller.
And but the original thing happened yesterday.
Yeah. And then, like, about a week ago, this first guy had come in. And he
They just keep doing the same shit over and over and over again?
Well, yeah, they did it to her once and then to me. And then I was like, I'm calling your business banker.
Yeah.
This is
a fucking recurring issue. Yeah. Bunch of fucking morons, man. What do you mean I can't get my money?
Yeah, the one guy comes in like every day. Like the bald guy?
I've never seen him. I might have seen him in passing at like an anniversary
party. He's just an employee.
Oh, I don't know. He's definitely not on the account then.
No.
I love it.
Yeah. My favorite thing to do is just like, is when they're walking away, I like flick them off like really nasty, like behind their back. It makes me feel so much better.
Do you have cameras there?
Oh, yeah.
And they see you do that?
Yeah.
You're like, nobody watches them.
No harm, no foul. I'm not hurting anyone. I'm making myself feel better. I always make sure there's no other clients like behind me in the drive-thru.
My thing is just constantly whispering under my breath, I fucking hate people. Like every single time something slightly inconveniences me, I fucking hate people. I'm just like waiting for somebody to hear me say it. I think some lady did hear me say it today because like she was digging around the back of my milk case for like the longest date because God forbid you have a milk that's closer dated than 2 weeks, even though you know you're going to drink it in 3 days.
Buy organic. Come on.
And then she knocked like 3 gallons of milk over and they hit the floor. And I was like, I think I said it too loud. And I was like, I swear to God, if any of those fucking broke, I'm going home. Just like cleaning them up. I fucking hate people. I fucking hate people.
Oh my God. Is that like a normal thing that people do? Is like, because my sister was like, yeah, I love to flick people off when they walk away when they've been nasty, and I'm like, I do the same thing, it feels so good. But
I don't flick people
off. Is that not a normal thing?
Just whisper under my breath.
Like I get like real big about it, like I crouch down and have like both my hands.
Aren't you ever afraid that they're gonna turn around and see you? Like today I was walking behind this guy who was like walking really 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 slow, and I had a piece of cardboard in my hand, and I'm like standing behind him, and I was like shooing the piece of cardboard trying to get him to go, and he like fucking turned around and I thought he saw me. And I was like,
probably felt the wind from it.
Wasn't rushing you. It's gonna keep. But like, walk faster or treat the aisles at a grocery store like a two-way road.
How can you be that just self-centered and not How? Like realize stuff's going on around you?
This poor man in a walker.
Just I mean,
he wasn't a make walker. Me bad. I don't feel bad.
Good. Remember how in Dixie when we would get mad at people and like grab their produce out of anger?
I've
like,
done it a couple times. I've definitely done it a couple times.
I put a thumb
like smush their bread,
a thumb hole in tomatoes, definitely.
Especially you used to get your nails done all the time back then, you'd have those fucking long ass acrylics sticking right in there,
and then I'd hand it to him and be like, be very careful, your tomatoes are in here.
Did you see how delicate I was?
Yeah.
Don't fuck with people who fuck with your food.
Don't fuck with people who know your social security number, your address,
okay,
your
that's scary,
driver's
Tamara.
License information,
that's very scary.
Where you work.
The FBI is coming for you right now.
Your debit and credit card numbers, how much you spend on OnlyFans.
Ew.
You know, don't fuck
Do
with
they
them.
Do they use their business account on OnlyFans?
No.
Okay, because I'm like... You need to tell someone that is embezzlement. We could finally shut this down.
I haven't looked at their operating account.
You should take it upon yourself to take a look. I think that'd be really fun.
I think it's really boring. Businesses are so boring.
I don't know.
Also, like, everyone's boring. I don't look at anyone's transactions. No one does. We don't have time for it. We don't care. I promise you, when you go to the bank, a teller is not judging you by their transactions. Actually, most of the time, I don't even look at balances when I make deposits for people. They do that all the time. I'll hand them the receipt. Like, I'll walk over. Hi, how can I help you? Okay, have a deposit. Okay, then I go back to my station and run it. And then I come back and give them the receipt. And I'm like, anything else I can help you with? Can you get me my balance? Or they'll say, do you know how much is in my account? It's your fucking account. No, I don't know.
Because I have a lollipop. That would just be
me. I hate
the
that.
Only reason I came to the drive-thru is for the lollipop.
Do you know how much is in my account? Do you know what came out yesterday?
Do you?
Do I know what came out of your
Did
account?
Did you not spend money yesterday? Maybe they were waiting for a specific bill. It is shocking to me that more people don't just do online banking. How do you fucking track your spending if you're not looking at it? I don't understand.
They use
I have
their
to like,
check
look
registers.
Every day just so I can like remind myself how much not to spend.
Right.
I overspent today. I spent $40 today, but I got two bottles of vitamins that are normally $40 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
I got them for $7 each.
I'm really proud of you.
Thanks. Thanks. But and then I bought a bunch of other stuff that was also on manager special, but I shouldn't have bought it. But I have a problem.
Vitamins are expensive. What are you talking about?
Vitamins are expensive. I have vitamins already though that I'm like too scared to take, but maybe these will be.
You have vitamins you're too scared to take.
Well, I was like, I got liquid multivitamin because I want Matt to start taking vitamins, but he has a thing with pills. He's a very sensitive gag reflex.
I do too. I can't take anything in like a capsule.
But like, you can at least take like Advil.
I can.
Oh, these are like big old horse pills. I just looked at the vitamins before I left today. They're like the big ones that look like they're encased in plastic. And I'm like, is that going to dissolve? Do I have to break this open like a drug dealer and sprinkle it in some and smoke it? Like, I don't know. But this liquid multivitamin is like dark green when it pours out, which is fine because it's got all the good, you know, googlies in it. I don't know. But it like makes me feel so weird. Even if I eat it on a full tummy.
Like high?
No, it just makes me feel like, I don't know. It makes me feel like really hot and like kind of queasy. I don't know. I think it might be like too much vitamins. Like, maybe like I'm overdosing on like B vitamins or something. Because I also drink Celsius.
Have you tried half a dose?
No, I didn't. I didn't know I could. I thought about like taking, because you're supposed to, it's like a little shot thing. I thought about just like mixing into a can of seltzer.
This is probably healthy. It's still liquid form, right?
Fine. I guess I could put it in my smoothie. Do you have a story, or are we going to keep rambling about vitamins?
I mean, I'm into it.
I'm also into this conversation. It's been so long. We haven't seen each other in like, well, it feels like a month.
I'm getting my shower replaced, I think.
What?
It's probably not going to be great or fancy, but my shower head stopped working, and apparently something about fiberglass. I don't know.
Your shower. Also, oh, they can't replace the shower head. They have to redo your whole shower.
It's something like on the inside of it.
Oh, nice.
Because it won't turn from like tub to shower anymore. It only goes on tub.
Oh, that's a whole plumbing thing. They might as well wreck the whole wall.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. Good job. When I had my bathroom redone, when I lived in an apartment, they let me pick the tile.
Really?
Yeah. Aww. They were just like, we have these options. And I was like, I get to choose the tile? It's not even my house. And they were like, well, you're the one living here. So okay. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, today our landlords were like, hey, so-and-so plumbing agency is going to call you. And I'm at work watching all these text messages. And my husband's like, oh yeah, he just called me. He'll be here in a few minutes. And I turned over to my other teller and I was like, I have to go make a phone call right now. And I go back there. Rich doesn't answer his phone. And all I can think is, I have my vibe in my shower, okay?
Oh. And I'm like,
no. And I also have this,
you just, like, keep it in your shower? Isn't that where a kid takes a shower?
But it's, like, way up high. And I also have one of those, like, skincare things that looks really bad, but it's just, like, a face scrubber.
Yeah.
So
that's really funny.
I text him and I'm like, you have to clean out the tub right now. Please, please, please. And he's like, too late, babe. And I'm like, oh my God.
Well, hopefully you didn't have to see them.
No. And he texted me a few minutes later and was like, I'm just kidding. I cleaned out the tub before you said anything.
Oh, that's very sweet of him.
Thank God. That would have been so embarrassing.
Only if you ran into them.
I mean, they're going to have to come and like tear my shower apart. So. Probably you'll be here for some of that.
Yeah. Well, at least they know you like to have a good time.
Exactly.
It's called self-love, Tamara. Yeah. Don't be ashamed.
Yeah, exactly.
Light a candle. Hit that vibe. I don't know.
So, all right. Let's go to my story. Okay. Lou Pearlman. Do you know who Lou Pearlman is?
A singer?
Nope.
I got
close,
nothing.
Close, though. You're kind of close. Okay.
Sounds famous.
Infamous? Lou Pearlman was basically a sick con artist that would
Was he ill? No. Or was he just like
as a nasty. Sicko?
Okay, cool.
Not that nasty. Not that nasty.
Well, everybody named Lou is nasty.
So this dude would do anything to raise his net worth, which is why he is infamous.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Tamara, are we jumping into financial criminals today?
Look at you.
The banker shit's rubbing off on you.
Yes. Yes. So he's not a pretty man.
He uggo?
Yeah, think of him as the weird kid from school that lied about everything and thought he was really cool and tried his best to weasel his way into being someone's friend and probably carried a briefcase at school. That's Lou Pearlman.
What do you think was in the briefcase? Ramen. Old French fries. Half of a ketchup packet.
Pencils, mostly.
You know what's... I love the smell of pencils. I'm sorry. I just had to say it. I fucking love the smell of pencils. Smell... Next time you see a pencil, smell it.
Okay.
And I want you to be like, yeah.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
No, don't take my word for it. Just give it a sniff. They're consenting. So. They want you to smell them. Look at the slutty way they dress.
Hey, they asked for it. Okay. Lou Pearlman was born in Queens, New York on June 19th, 1954.
Tamara.
Juneteenth.
That's not your birthday. Never mind.
That's not my birthday.
It is the 19th? No, it's not. No. I know your birthday. It's not even in June.
Do you know my birthday?
Yes, I do now.
What is it?
April 28th.
Yes.
What? It was a toss-up between 24 or 28.
Listen. To be fair, though, I know your birthday's October 5th, and I forget that it's October 5th every day. Every year, I mean.
Every day I forget that it's October 5th.
I remember we were at work on a lunch break together and I was bitching about something. I was pissed off. And then all of a sudden I go, oh my God, it's your birthday. And like the whole day had gone.
I'm like, oh yeah. And then you were mad at me. You were like, why didn't you remind me?
I didn't mean like remind me that it's your birthday. I meant remind me that it's October 5th today. And then wink about it.
I would never do that. I couldn't give two shits about my birthday.
Okay.
Well, I didn't have any control over it. I'm just here.
Okay. We're going to get to the story, I promise.
I'll stop interrupting. I'm so sorry.
You're supposed to interrupt.
Hey, Tamara.
Yeah. He grew up in a middle-class family. His father owned a dry cleaning business, and his mother was a school lunch lady.
Oh.
The apartment he grew up in was across from Flushing Airport, where he could watch blimps take off and land.
You said it wrong.
Blimps.
Blimp.
Blimp. That's how I have to say it?
Never mind.
Okay.
It was in the last episode. Not the last.
I talked about blimps in another episode.
You sure did. You talked about it in the episode with the unluckiest man. And you said it very masculine.
Oh, okay.
I'll stop interrupting now for real this time.
This is when he used his first known con by using his connection in the school newspaper to gain access to the blimps and earning himself a ride on a blimp. Lou also became interested in the music business. Sparked by the fame and wealth of his cousin, Art Garfunkel, he began managing a band but was not successful, so he shifts back to aviation.
I know that name, Art Garfunkel. Art Garfunkel. Sorry.
He was oh my God, it's the two guys. Now I can't think of their name.
No, it's not Simon and Garfunkel, right?
Yeah,
wait,
it is
Simon and am I just making that up?
No.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. His name is Garfunkel.
When Lou was in his first year of college, he wrote a business plan for a class project for a helicopter taxi service in New York City. Remember, he lives in, like, Queens.
New York.
Yeah. And this is where Lou's bullshit starts. In the late 70s, he actually starts this business, but Lou only had one helicopter.
Only.
So that doesn't work out, obviously.
What? Really? He can't
be a taxi with one. Yeah.
Why?
Because it's, I don't know, you just can't.
I mean, you could charge a lot.
I'm sure he did. Lou pivoted back to his first love.
Dry cleaning.
Money. Oh. No, I'm just kidding. It's blimps.
What is with this man in blimps?
Lou did not own a blimp.
We are not okay today.
Lou did not own a blimp, though. And what does a blimp company even do? I have no idea. What is a blimp company?
You gotta maintain the blimp.
Like, how do you make money? Just people ride on it?
Advertisers. That's why they're still around today. You see my, like, I don't know if you see them anymore.
I know, but how many blimp company? Okay, whatever.
Advertisers pay a lot of money. Think about how much money people pay for, like, Super Bowl ads.
Yeah, but, like, that's Goodyear. How many blimp companies are there? Why do you need another blimp company? You literally lived across the street from a blimp company.
All over the place. You need a blimp in every city.
Really?
I don't know. At least every city that has a football field.
Okay. Anyway, Lou leased his non-existent blimp to the jeans company Jordache. Remember that from when we were kids? Jordache? I don't
know.
I was too young. When Lou received the money from Jordache, never going to say that again.
I've never heard of those.
Yeah, it's like Jordan with an, instead of an N, it's a C-H-E.
We wore old Jordache Navy jeans. Still do. Yeah. Well, not anymore. But.
So when Lou received the money, he went to California to purchase materials for a blimp. Probably the cheapest ones he could find because that's just how he is.
He built his own blimp? That doesn't sound very safe.
I don't. No. He had a company make it, but he bought the materials from California. Probably had it made in California. And Lou painted
it. Made in the USA.
Lou painted it gold to give it a regal look. And then
he slapped a Burger King logo on it.
And then he let the jeans company advertise on the blimp. Oh, you were right. I should have known that because I wrote that. Yeah.
Advertising? Yeah. That's what you do with blimps?
Yeah. Apparently. However, the gold paint got way too hot and the blimp promptly crashed.
That's I'm trying not to laugh all the time. You would think that the gold paint would reflect the sun. Like, you'd think it would get too hot if it was painted black, you know?
We could try it out. I think it was, like, the metal in it.
Oh.
So, Jordache and Airship Enterprises, Lou's company, sued each other, and after 7 years, Lou was actually awarded $2.5 million in damages. He was awarded the money. How the fuck was he awarded the money? He built a cheap-ass fucking blimp, painted it gold, and then it crashed. Why does Jordache now have to give you $2.5 million in damages? Whatever.
That really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Wowzers. I guess that's what insurance is for, huh?
Yeah.
Didn't exist back in the 50s?
This was the 70s, I guess. So Mr. Lou decided to start a new blimp company with his earnings. This is going to be great.
It's going to be so great.
But he did not have enough to actually purchase a blimp again. So this bozo.
So once again, he's buying like aluminum from scrap metal yards and he's just like, just glue it on.
No, this is, he takes his company public and then falsely reports to potential investors that he partnered with a major blimp facility out of Germany and had leased his non-existent blimp to McDonald's.
Oh.
So he's lying to get these investors, okay?
So he didn't work with McDonald's?
No.
Wow. That's a bold statement. McDonald's will fucking sue anybody. Right? You better watch it, bro.
So he gains investors this way and uses their money to purchase a blimp and moves his company to the luxurious city of Orlando, fucking Florida.
I was going to guess Denmark, but Orlando is fine. I wonder if there's a blimp museum there that we can go see. I feel like I go to Orlando once a month. I'm going to look for that blimp museum.
Lou is actually doing okay with this company, even after making false claims to investors. MetLife and SeaWorld became his clients. Which is okay. Big. I could see blimps over SeaWorld.
Yeah. Cool. And MetLife, there's like MetLife Stadium.
Yeah. Lou also formed a business relationship with Jerome Rawson, who worked for a trading firm and was constantly in trouble with regulators.
Fun.
Yeah. So now he's into like he's public and people can like buy his stocks
in his company. I just keep thinking of like the only thing I know about like stocks and stuff is what I saw on Wolf of Wall Street, which is a really funny movie. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yep. Cocaine off of
so much cocaine. Everything.
So Jerome would actively trade the stock in Lou's blimp company. I have no idea what that means, but it's not a good thing.
So yeah, you're going into all of this like stock stuff, and I'm just like, wow, she really knows a lot about stuff now that she's in the banking industry. I still don't know how stocks work. I don't give two shits about the Dow.
Yeah, so Jerome actively traded the stock. That's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
This shady shit raised his stock prices so he could sell hundreds of thousands of shares in his company at higher and higher prices, even though his company was receiving almost no revenue.
He had clients. How was he receiving no revenue? Like, he had
probably just
MetLife and
not making enough money from them to maintain the blimp. Or
did he have employees?
I don't know.
Who drove the blimp?
A blimpist. Obviously.
Blippy? It was Blippy Senior. Okay. Blippy Senior was into blimps, where Blimpy Junior is into excavators.
I thought you were going to say.
Sorry, that's a really hard word for me.
What's the word?
Escalator? I don't even think kids are into Blippy anymore. That's an outdated joke. They move on so fast.
No, I thought you were going to say scat porn.
Why would I say scat porn?
Because that's what he did.
Wait, what?
Before Blimpy.
Wait, what? First of all, Blippy? The guy that does children's things on YouTube about excavators.
Yeah.
Used to do scat porn. So. What's scat porn? Scat is like animal doo-doo.
Yeah.
No. What did he do with the doo-doo?
I don't know. I'm not into that. I don't know how that works.
So
I never want to know.
Why no one's into Blippy anymore?
I think some people are into Blippy.
I just thought kids moved on.
Good God. We need to move on.
I'm sorry. Yes. No more Blippy talk.
So Jerome... He's a bad guy.
Okay. Blippy or Jerome?
Both of them. Jerome helped keep the money from the shares liquid, which is, I think, how he made his bottom line look like it was a successful company, so that he can gain more and more investors. Again, I state, I don't know how the stock market works.
I wish we did. We would probably be like, whoa. When we talked about this.
But is this a Ponzi scheme? Is that what that is?
Maybe? I'm really trying.
I read one of the articles did mention Ponzi
scheme. Ponzi scheme
somewhere.
Is what Bernie Madoff did, right? Where he like...
Where he lied to investors. So
yeah. So okay. That's probably what that is.
Yeah. So Big Papa, as he liked to be called.
Who?
Big
is
Papa.
Jerome?
No. Lou.
He liked to be gross. Ew.
So Big Papa was
I'm not calling him that.
I am. Was all smoke and mirrors. payroll and per diem for his employees was always late, and the business was suffering behind closed doors while Lou rode chartered planes and lived the life that appeared to be glamorous and extravagant.
He's taking all that money.
Yeah. Anywho, three of his blimps ended up crashing, and one of his clients left, and eventually his shares went from $6 each to 3 cents, and the company was shut down.
Did anybody die in these blimp crashes?
No, but is that a common thing? Why are all his blimps crashing?
So that's, four blimps so far.
Maybe they're crashing on purpose.
I hate my job! This thing goes so slow!
I meant like for insurance money, but that's hilarious.
Sorry. I thought it was like a kamikaze situation.
So it's just like, fuck it, in the middle of a field.
I don't want to go to my wife anyway.
Oh, God. Okay. So at this point, Lou was very close to going under himself when he had a chance meeting with New Kids on the Block on one of his chartered flights.
The band?
Yeah. New Kids on... Yeah, them. Okay.
That's funny.
They were hugely successful. And
they
Lou's...
were like, you know what we're looking for our new, like... image. We're
Are
looking
you
for a blimp.
Bandmate.
Okay. To really spread the word about the New Kids on the Block. Could you imagine a blimp?
So, New Kids on the Block, they were hugely successful, and Lou was already interested in the music business. So, he reinvented himself as an entertainment and music business mastermind.
Oh. So he gave up on the blimps. Sorry.
Yes.
I was like, what is he bringing to the table? A bunch of blimp crashes?
He hosted a casting call for vocal groups with New Kids on the Block look and a Boys to Men sound.
Oh my God. Did he invent the Backstreet Boys?
Yeah.
Shut up. I knew I recognized this name. Ew.
Anyway, so that statement was pretty racist.
Wait, which one? What
he
I
wanted,
said?
No.
Oh. Calm down. I was like, I didn't mean to. What did I say?
No. So the casting calls, he wanted the people to have a New Kids on the Block look.
Okay.
So white. And a Boys to Men sound. Boys to Men are black.
Oh, honestly, I didn't know the races of either of those. Wasn't my cup of tea.
I know.
To listen to. Me either. So, I think that's why I was so shocked. I was like, are you calling me racist?
Anyway, he formed the Backstreet Boys from these casting calls.
Named... I wouldn't say that the Backstreet Boys have a Boys to Men sound.
I know.
They like all sound extremely thing. White.
So, the Backstreet Boys are named for the Backstreet Market off of International Drive. In Orlando,
which
was a huge teen hangout spot at the time.
Why didn't I know that?
The Backstreet Market.
So they were born in Florida?
I don't
the
know if
Backstreet
they were
Boys?
Born in Florida, but they all did live in Orlando.
Like it was the band was originated in Florida.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I'm learning something new today. Gross.
So their first show was in 1993 at SeaWorld.
Can I ask a really quick unrelated question?
Sure.
Who came first, Boys... Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
And had you asked me that like 2 weeks ago, I would have had no idea.
I have no idea either. My brother was, my older brother, I should clarify, was into those bands, I think.
I was too.
Someone in our house was.
Your sister?
No. No, she was definitely into Boys to Men.
Okay.
She was how I first got introduced to Tupac.
So they have their first show in SeaWorld. From there, they began touring and quickly rose to fame. Have you ever heard of the Backstreet Boys, Rel?
Vaguely.
You familiar with them?
Okay. I actually, in my head, when you first started talking about them, I started singing, bye, bye, bye. But I'm pretty sure that's NSYNC.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Yeah.
Oops. Oops, I did it again. Also the wrong never mind
After his quick success with the Backstreet Boys, Lou came up with the idea to create a rival boy band.
Oh my God, called... he created NSYNC!
Good job. Yes, NSYNC. That's right. I guess you've heard of them too.
What in the world? He created his own weird little universe of boy bands.
I know.
He created the Marvel universe of boy bands.
He did. And to, like,
a blimpy. A blimp guy. Yeah. Okay. This is wild.
So, like, it's, they're both his bands, but he created them to be rivals. But, like, you're obviously on the same team.
Because, well, because they're bottom both line. Essentially, shut up, Matt. They're both the same fucking band.
I agree.
They're the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
I literally sang bye, bye, bye. And then I was like, who did that? I don't know. They both sound exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're a rival group, but they're on the same team. Same record label, whatever.
But it was just like the Twilight thing. You know, like you pick a side.
Like I was 8. So I just like, I don't know the difference between them ever. They're the same band to me. I liked both equally. I don't know. But if you play a song, I'm not really going to be able to guess which one it was.
Yeah, they both just had the same sound. I remember having a crush on... I do remember the Backstreet Boys, I think, were hotter than NSYNC. Because I remember having a big old crush on Nick Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, not into Justin Timberlake or... any of the other guys on NSYNC that I don't know their names because they're all just like...
There's an AJ in one of them. I don't know which band.
I think Chris Kirkpatrick.
Who's that? I don't know.
I actually have never heard that name before in my life.
So Lou continued to create these boy bands and he paid for everything. Everything.
When you say he continued, did he create more than NSYNC?
Yeah.
How many but those more are their boy two, bands?
Like, that, those are the two huge ones. Probably, I don't know, like 10 or something. So he paid for everything, like where they lived, their what they ate, like everything that goes into touring.
What money?
Like, you know, merchandise.
Well, I guess he's
sales,
making
yeah.
money now from the band.
They're famous.
He's not like, yeah. He's not a poor blimp guy anymore. Yeah.
Oh, I have other bands listed right here. That's funny. Okay, so LFO.
LFO. Never heard of it.
I remember them. Natural. I have no idea.
Nope.
Take Five and O-Town.
Nope, we got nothing.
O-Town had, they were like...
Sing it.
Were they making the band? O-Town?
I don't know.
Were they... Oh, yeah, that guy's name is like Ashley Angel. Is that... Am I thinking of the right person?
There's You're no asking way to the know. Wrong girl.
There's no way to know.
I got nothing.
Okay. And O-Town is for Orlando, by the way.
Gross.
Yeah. Lou invited everyone to hang out at all times at his estate. And he threw parties... Of course, paying for everything. And they said his house was like Disneyland and everyone wanted to be there. At least all the young boys.
Oh, okay. I knew this. This give me Jackson vibes.
It's literally been compared to Neverland.
Like in that way.
Lou wanted to be one of the popular kids. He wanted to feel like a big family, but Lou had an even more dark side.
Mm.
In the documentary, The Boy Band Con, Lou can be seen using his position as a manager, friend, and financial support to take advantage physically of these young boys. He was reported as too touchy-feely. He got close and made them feel like, okay, what's going on here? This isn't right. Like, really uncomfortable at first.
It's like some Harvey Weinstein shit where they're like probably... too afraid to say no because they don't want their careers to be over.
Yeah, and like they're young, so
sorry.
Oh my, I did not know what that was. That scared me.
Okay. Granada. Sorry.
Lance Bass reported Lou would insist on giving him massages, and told many of the boys he knew how to get their muscles more defined by the way he would massage them, and that he had majored in physiology in college.
Guys, Lou didn't go to college. He was a blimp guy.
He even went as far as to sexually assault Rich Cronin from LFO, telling him it was practice for upcoming German music execs.
He told, like, he was going to be getting fucked by German music execs?
I don't understand that, honestly.
That's horrible.
But if
that's
he just, like pressured him, like, this, I don't know.
That's what it sounds like to me, is, like, they're going to fuck you, so why don't I? Ew.
Like, I'm going to get you ready so you know what's going to happen.
Oh, my God. So disgusting.
He told Rich that he had majored in psychology and knew how to help him feel good about what was going to happen.
Oh, my God. I'm just, like, really disturbed. Yeah. I think this is probably the most disturbed I've been in any episode, and I've talked about decapitation before.
And so that's just what was reported.
So I'm assuming, like, this wasn't, like, a... Like, nobody came forward to tell anyone about this.
Not until probably after.
Until that mofo died.
Yeah. Yeah, not until after. So... now we can move on to his downfall.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm looking forward to it. Fuck that guy.
So after 3 brutal years of worldwide touring, Lou sat down with NSYNC and their families at an expensive restaurant to officiate the ceremony that would be the payday of their fortunes that they had amassed over the last 3 years of hard work and fame, where they were only given an allowance of $35 a day.
What?
So, yeah, 3 years of, like, you're massively famous.
You're getting fucking raped.
Yeah, the only pay you make is $35 a day. I mean, whatever.
I couldn't live on $35 a day.
No. The success from their album sales, shows, and merchandise was said to have brought in tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah. They were like a big fucking deal, Lou.
This payday was going to make them and their families, who had spent hundreds of thousands of dollars getting their children into Lou's group, instant millionaires. Each family was handed their checks. Like, he made a huge deal out of this.
Okay.
So, guess how much they were paid?
I'm going to say $1,000.
They were paid more than that, thank goodness.
Okay.
$10,000.
Wow.
3 years.
For 3 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. The shocked band members and their families knew instantly they were being taken advantage of.
No. What? No.
They immediately sought legal help. Lou defended himself, saying he or his business had completely footed every expense from the beginning and had given them their per diem. He stated that all the money he had spent on them and how every little expense added up. Still.
Yeah, but they're the ones making the money.
Still. For
they're the talent.
Yeah. These world known men, everyone assumed, you know, fame came with wealth, you know. They had nothing, basically. Yeah,
well, that's how it is nothing. Today with, like, people on Netflix now.
NSYNC was able to back out of their contract with Lou due to him failing to sign them with a U.S. label. So he went and signed them with German labels. I don't know why. I don't know what he's not a label. He's like a manager. I don't know. I don't understand.
He's like their tour manager.
I don't know.
He's like the band manager, and then he gets them on different labels. But I thought the labels were, like, in charge of paying and stuff.
Right. I don't know.
Ugh. Yeah. So icky.
I am not a meteorologist. So.
Sorry.
I laugh.
I'm sorry.
When they took Lou to court, the judge was astounded by Lou's claims that he, quote, was NSYNC and therefore entitled to 90% of the earnings. Do you understand that? Lou said that he is NSYNC.
Could you imagine him getting up there and, like, doing any form of dancing?
You haven't even seen a picture of him, and you're, like,
I don't,
hitting the nail right on the head.
I actually know someone named Lou that's, like, really obnoxious and gross and disgusting, and that's who I'm picturing.
You know, I know 2 people named Lou, and one
gross?
Is horrible, but the other guy's, he's okay.
Yeah.
No. I mean, he wears an NRA hat sometimes.
Fuck him.
But, like... That just reminds me, I got a text message from, it was like from the NRA campaign about how I owed them money and I was going to be sent to collections until they're like,
it's a scam.
It was a scam for the NRA. What? Try harder.
Wow. 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 Wow.
The judge ruled against Lou, and this became the beginning of the end for Big Papa.
But can we not, especially knowing what we know now, can we not call him Big Papa?
Big Papa.
Tamara. Gross. That's really gross. I bet he asked them to call him Big Papa when he was getting them ready for German execs. Stop.
Disgusting.
You started it.
His lavish lifestyle and need to impress people to hide his lies could no longer work. Everyone saw through him. He wanted to be them. He wanted the fame and the attention. He thought of himself as a member of these bands he had started. So, like, he was the same as the band. He was the sixth member.
Your voice is my voice.
Yeah. So this shows how, like, selfish and stupid he was. Lance Bass said that had Lou given them $100,000 instead of $10,000, it would have changed their opinions.
I don't know.
Instead of thinking,
for 3 years, that's not enough.
I know. Instead of thinking that they were being scammed, they would have thought, hey, we need to negotiate this. $100,000 is unbelievable for what we have done at this point. Like,
and they didn't even get that.
Yeah.
So had he was making tens of millions.
Yeah. Had he just gone a little bit, like, thankfully he didn't, because that's where it all started. That's where it brought him down. Everything came crashing down on Lou, and he fled to Indonesia.
Oh,
but
fun.
He was spotted and arrested by the FBI.
He didn't get to eat, pray, love.
Mm-mm. Lou was sentenced to 25 years in prison.
Sit.
He was taken to a correctional facility in Florida to serve his time in the same state that he had frauded hundreds in. Through his time in prison, he continued to proclaim that he was due all of this money because the bands were his idea and he had fully paid for everything for them.
Could you imagine being his fucking roomie?
No.
You know what? I invented NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. Did you know that? Did you know I invented NSYNC?
He probably smells like
sauerkraut.
Dirty hands. Like, it's clammy. He's clammy.
It's like, okay, Lou. We heard you. Oh, did you invent Backstreet Boys? Okay. Can you shut the fuck up now? Thanks. You're in jail.
Anyway, this greasy thumb of a human had a stroke while in prison.
Bye, Lou.
That led to heart valve problems and eventually his death in Miami, Florida on August 19th, 2016. Bye.
Wow. You know what? The last the episode that got released today, that guy died in 2016, too. The luckiest man.
Oh, the lucky.
Wow. Small world, I guess.
So the reactions to his death had a wide range. Justin Timberlake tweeted, "I hope he found some peace. God bless and RIP Lou Pearlman."
Okay.
It's vanilla.
Do you like them? Okay.
Singer Aaron Carter, meanwhile, thanked Pearlman for discovering
you mean Nick
him.
Carter?
No, his brother too.
His brother wasn't in the band.
No, but he was under.
I mean, yeah, he was a singer, but
he managed him, I guess. Whatever. What are we gonna call it? I don't know what he did.
I thought he had like a solo career. Did you know he's dead?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Aaron Carter wrote, "Lou Pearlman, my old manager, died in prison. R.I.P. Lou. Not the best business guy. Really at all, but he did discover me. Karma is real."
Okay. Do you think he was one of the boys?
I don't know, because it was very like, RIP Lou, you weren't the best business guy, but you did discover
karma
me.
Karma is real.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, like, he was on drugs a lot, so whatever.
Well, if we've learned anything from Intervention, a lot of drug use stems from childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm. Does it affect your tweets?
Well, I don't fucking know. Probably. But, you know.
Backstreet Boys' AJ McLean was also thankful for Pearlman's role in the boy band's career. This is what he said. "Many emotions at the news of Lou's passing. Without Lou, I wouldn't have met my four brothers or had the opportunity of a lifetime. R.I.P.
The funny thing is, well, I guess it's not funny. Well, maybe it's funny. I don't know. I think it's kind of funny. Is that nobody is saying, like, I'm so sad. They're all saying, many emotions.
Here's another quote. "Love him or hate him, Lou gave many of us our start. It's a shame he let greed get in his way. So that was from Ashley Parker Angel. So yeah, I was right. He's from LA. That was
a good
O-Town.
Send off.
Yeah. So this dude was trash and was greedy.
This is our final summation.
Yes. He was trash and greedy on one hand and wanted to be the big hotshot guy on the other hand. The combination made for a fucked up situation with a dude who would manipulate, lie, and steal to keep his pockets flush and to have people want to be around him. So, you know, karma's gonna get you.
It's gonna get you.
Yeah.
That's gross.
It's pretty gross.
He is gross.
Yeah.
I just can't stop thinking about the Neverland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ew.
Yeah, they compared it to that and, like, it was a theme park. Everyone wanted to be there. Like Neverland.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yuck. Oh, now what? Like, you can't stop thinking about Aaron Carter.
Yeah, I know.
Because he was a little baby.
He was so cute when he was young, too.
Oh. I know. Remember he put out that song, I Want Candy?
Yeah. Let's pause and listen to that.
No. I don't want to.
All right. So... that's it for today. Rate, review, subscribe, please. Tell us.
Tell Tamara. Tell someone about us.
Tell someone about us.
Tell the world.
You could tell us your stories.
And send them to fearfulfriendspodcast@gmail.com or, you know, any of our other socials.
Yeah. Yep. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram. I think that's it.
Love you.
Bye, friends.
Bye.